You are listening to a free podcast of The Majority Report with Sam Cedar. To support the show and receive nearly an hour extra material daily, become a member today at majority.fm. Resistance is futile.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
The destiny of America is always safer in the hands of the people than in the conference rooms of any elite.
Sam Cedar.
They are unanimous in their hate for me, and I welcome their hatred.
We must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
And I get the feeling you've been cheated.
It is Wednesday, June 12th, 2013. My name is Sam Cedar. This is the award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live in the literal, though not metaphorical, shadow of the New York Times building in the fashionable Dollar Lunch District of New York City. Today on the program, we will not have Mark Mazzetti. He canceled a short time ago. Again. But continuing in the news, the response from the establishment media to the Snowden revelations continue and just sort of unabated. Just trust us, they say, says Thomas Friedman. He's a loner, says David Brooks. A narcissist, says Jeffrey Toobin. They're coming out of the woodwork, folks, to tell us all that we already knew this stuff, but it's also horrible that he leaked it. He's a traitor for telling us what we already knew, even though we didn't really know it. Meanwhile, we are seeing some pushback in the form of lawsuits and legislation proposed by some lawmakers. Some lawmakers have been rather disappointing. I'm looking at you, Al Franken. Literally, I'm looking at his bobblehead that we have up on the side there. Also on today's program, immigration reform takes a step closer towards happening for reals. An interesting piece putting together a lot of what we have been talking about over the years, that financialization of our economy has been detrimental to growth, to income inequality, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And also libertarians are a cult, according to the piece I have here in my hands. The number is 646-257-3920. We will take your calls early again today, as we had this, as we are sans guest today. I'm still steaming about it. I don't know if you could tell. I'm really annoyed.
It's ridiculous.
All right. Don't
chime in. All right, I'll step out of it.
Don't chime in. Let's just move on. All right, Michael, just take it easy. Let's just go through, I mean, I guess perhaps we should start with the, what was it that Spiro Agnew called them? The Nabby Nobbinakers or the, I can't remember. You guys don't even know who I'm talking about, do you? First, let's start with David Brooks, shall we? Pontificating on the leaker. Now, I am beginning to wonder from a tactical standpoint whether or not it was whether or not it was good from a media standpoint to release this interview with Snowden so early in this process on some level, because it invariably makes the story about him, but on some level. However, I think that there is also a story to be told about the reaction to him in these leaks and what is clearly problematic in our society and problematic with the national security state, because it, the growth of this thing, of the national security state, is indicative of a broader problem that we have with the establishment in this country. And reactions to Snowden himself have brought that into clear relief. However, I will say this. I don't know if Thomas Friedman or David Brooks ever wrote anything about Bradley Manning. And so it's indicative of the impact that these revelations are having. Friedman says, I'm glad I live in a country with people who are vigilant in defending civil liberties. That's a little pat on the hat, on the head for all of you folks. But as I listen to the debate about the disclosure of two government programs designed to track suspected... Okay, now, he starts off lying. As I listen to the debate about the disclosure of two government programs designed to track suspected phone and email contacts of terrorists... That is not what these programs are designed to do. These programs are designed to take all of the information that exists out there about the communications of virtually every person in this country and store them, essentially creating a massive dossier, if you will. Maybe that's too specific of a word, dossier. But it is. It is a dossier on all of us that can be used essentially like a library. I think Marcy Wheeler called it a Dewey Decimal System. Wherein, down the road, if there is any suspicion about something, this database can be mined. Now, that's ostensibly the way that this is designed for. Marcy Wheeler is indicating that there's, or I should say, has pointed out there are indications that they're not maybe just using this for terrorists. They could be using this for cyber hacking. They could be using this for drugs. And as I mentioned yesterday, in the future, we have no idea how it's going to be used. We just know that that database is there. But it is specifically not to track suspected phone and email contacts of terrorists. Because if that was the case, you could go to the FISA court and say, this is the suspected terrorist. We want everything associated with that person. But that is not what's going on here. So Friedman can't even get through his second sentence without framing this conversation incorrectly. And it was also more than two government programs. But do you really think he read any of this stuff? Do you really? I mean, honestly, I don't think Thomas Friedman read any of it. He doesn't have to for what he does.
There's something about, you know, the Thomas Friedmans and the David Brooks who go on TV any chance they get calling someone else a narcissist.
Well, look, he didn't use the word narcissist, but Friedman. But he goes on to say the only thing we have to fear is government intrusion in our lives, not the intrusion of no. I do wonder if some of those who unequivocally defend this disclosure are behaving as if 9/11 never happened. And kudos to him to getting 9/11 into the second sentence. That the only thing we have to fear is government intrusion in our lives, not the intrusion of those who gather in secret cells in Yemen, Afghanistan, and Pakistan, and plot how to topple our tallest buildings or bring down U.S. airliners with bombs planted inside underwear, tennis shoes, or computer printers. Blah, blah, blah. He goes on for with his platitudes. I worry even more about another 9/11. That is, I worry about something that's already happened once. I worry about that even more because, not because I don't care about civil liberties, but because what I cherish most about America is our open society. And I believe that if there is one more 9/11 or worse, an attack involving nuclear material, it could lead to the end of the open society as we know it. So in other words, we must close down our society to protect the open society that we don't have. If there were another 9/11, I fear that 99% of Americans would tell their members of Congress, do whatever you need to do, privacy be damned, just make sure this doesn't happen again. That is what I fear most. And that is why I'll reluctantly, very reluctantly, trade off the government using data mining to look for suspicious patterns in phone numbers called and email addresses. It's not just data mining, I remind you. And then have to go to a judge to get a warrant to actually look at the content under the guidelines set by Congress to prevent a day where, out of fear, we give government a license to look at anyone, any email, any phone call, anywhere, anytime. He goes on to talk about Snowden not being a whistleblower. He needed someone to challenge him with the argument that we don't live in a world any longer where our government can protect its citizens from real, not imagined threats without using big data. I imagine he heard that argument somewhere along the line as he worked for the NSA. And then he talks about the David Simon essay. But he goes on to say, we do need to constantly be on guard for abuses. But the fact is that for at least the two last presidencies, we have had no such violation. There hasn't been, according to Thomas Friedman, any abuses of this system. Now, this is just stunning. Because, first off, he can't possibly know this, that there haven't been abuses. And we also know the tremendous abuse that took place with the national security letters by the FBI. In fact, what we do know is that any time the government has been given this type of blanket authority, they have abused it. Now, in Baltimore, maybe they didn't abuse this this authority. But we know for a fact in New York City they did. We know that the New York City Police Department is still, I think, under a court order because of the abuses that they engaged in the 70s. We know that the Church Commission was a function of abuses by the FBI. It's just absurd to say there's been no abuses of this because he can't know that. And he doesn't even seem to understand the outlines of these programs either. But before we go on to the sort of counter arguments, let's talk about David Brooks, who I don't know if it's even worth sort of mentioning how insane this guy has become.
It's always worth mentioning.
But I guess it is.
Everyone needs a reminder just in case you're reading it and forget.
David Brooks says, though obviously terrifically bright, speaking of Snowden, he could not successfully work his way through the institution of high school. Then he failed to navigate his way through community college. And according to the Washington Post, he has not been a regular presence around his mother's house for years. He also made it clear he wanted to know neighborly relationships. He went to work for Booz Allen Hamilton in the CIA, but he has separated himself from them too. His beliefs, he appears to be a product of one of the more unfortunate trends of the age, the atomization of society, the loosening of social bonds, the apparently growing share of young men in their 20s who are living technological existences in the fuzzy land between their childhood institutions and adult family commitments. I'm looking at you, Matt. If you live a life unshaped by the mediating institutions of civil society, perhaps it makes sense to see the world in a certain way. Life is not embedded in a series of gently gradated authoritative structures, family, neighborhood, religious group, state, nation, and world. Instead, it's just a solitary, naked individual and the gigantic, menacing state. In other words, what Brooks is lamenting here and suggesting is that if Snowden had a wife and a kid, or multiple kids, he wouldn't have the guts to do something like this. Which may be the case. And if that's the case, then David Brooks should go work for the NSA and start to vet everybody who goes and works there. Because he's just discovered something that apparently all those people who do the vetting at NSA haven't realized. Big Brother's not the only danger facing the country, writes David Brooks. Another is the rising tide of distrust, the corrosive spread of cynicism, the fraying of the social fabric, and the rise of people who are so individualistic in their outlook that they have no real understanding of how to knit others together and look after the common good. For society to function well, there have to be basic levels of trust and cooperation, a respect for institutions and common procedures. By deciding to unilaterally leak NSA documents, Snowden has betrayed all of it. Now, do you see how twisted this is? We have a secret program that has been authorized by secret law that in this society, we, as constituents of our representatives, cannot know this secret law. We cannot challenge this secret law because it is so secret that we have no ability to access the courts to challenge its constitutionality. We have Director of National Intelligence, bald-faced lying in multiple ways to our elected representatives. And David Brooks is bemoaning the loss of basic levels of trust and cooperation and respect for institutions and common procedures because this guy showed that the head of intelligence in this country, the Director of National Intelligence, lied. Outright lie to our elected representatives. He showed that, in fact, we all have standing to go and challenge this in a court of law. And the problem is simply that that guy, that single 29-year-old guy, and God knows what all of these establishment figures would have written had he waited another 6 months and became 30. Because that guy revealed all of this to us. The reason why you have someone like David Brooks or Thomas Friedman or Jeffrey Toobin writing these things is because they are part of that broader institution. They are part and parcel of that establishment. Toobin, I think, personally knows a couple of the Supreme Court justices from his days at Harvard Law. Brooks is invited to the White House. Thomas Friedman married to an oligarch. They are not defending an open society. They are defending a society that provides them with a certain privileged access. And they are defending a society that places them in the center of power of that society. They are defending themselves from this leak. Because if there are questions of institutions, if there is some type of outcry from the populace that we don't have access, that we are living in with an undemocratic dynamic here, Those are the guys who are going to lose their power. Those are the guys who benefit from that dynamic. And that's why we hear them sort of, you know, say contradictory things about, well, everybody knew this. But it's horrible that he exposed it. It's just absurd. He betrayed his friends. He betrayed honesty and integrity, the foundation of all cooperative activity. He betrayed his employers. He betrayed the cause of open government. Every time there's a leak like this, the powers that be close the circle of trust a little tighter. They limit debate a little more. How much more could debate have been limited on these programs? You had senators having to sort of try and hint to their staffers, something's really bad here. It's bigger than a bread box. Now, debate could not be any more closed on this than it had been. You had the director of national intelligence lying to a senator blatantly. Not, senator, can we address this in private session? The questions you're asking me are too sensitive. Not, senator, that's not a question I feel comfortable asking, answering in open session. Not, senator, I'll amend my answer to you in the record. None of that. He lied. And the senator knew he lied and couldn't do anything about it. And Snowden betrayed an open, the cause of open government? This is just absurd. If you talk back to that bully, he may hit you harder next time. That's basically what Brooks's argument is. And Friedman's is just a veiled threat. It can get worse, people. It can get worse. It's stunning.
I know this is just a small thing, but since Snowden leaked this information, Google and Facebook have both openly called for the government to allow them to be more transparent by letting them publish the requests they receive for personal data.
That's right.
I mean, if that's not helping out an open government model that we
open
would like
society.
To... Yeah. I mean, then what is? I mean, he did do something.
Absolutely, of course. And we also know that the ACLU filed that suit earlier this week, seeking the FISA justifications. We also know that Jeff Merkley has introduced a bill that would force the government to reveal how it interprets the laws underpinning these programs. In other words, no more secret law, no more secret opinions as to what the government can do. Particularly for something that supposedly everybody was aware was being done. And we know, according to Richard Clark, in the Daily News, that it is laughable the terrorists didn't know we were up to this or didn't assume that we were up to something like this. Now, the terrorists, these are the ones who have a jaundiced perspective on our government, right? These are the ones who have a cynical and incorrect vision of what America is. That's why they thought that we were doing this. Clark, who I will say is no... I don't know if he's an attorney or not, but he says he has two concerns with this. Richard Clark, former former counterterrorism chief under Bush and Clinton, for that matter. Was an advisor, I guess, to the first Bush, too. First, the law under which President George W. Bush and now Obama have acted was not intended to give government records of all telephone calls. The law envisioned the administration coming to a special court on a case-by-case basis to explain why it needed to have specific records. That's the rub. That was the law that went into the black box I spoke about yesterday and came out saying that you can, yes, you can bank all of the calls. And he goes on to say, we should worry about this program because government agencies, particularly the FBI, have a well-established track record of overreaching, exceeding their authority, and abusing the law. Even if you trust Obama, should we have programs and interpretations of law that others could abuse now without his knowing or it, without his knowing it, or later in another administration? Obama thought we needed to set up rules about drones because of what the next president might do. Why does he not see the threat from this telephone program? The answer is he inherited this vacuum cleaner approach to telephone records from Bush. When Obama was briefed on it, there was no forceful and persuasive advocate for changing it. His chief advisor on these things at the time was John Brennan. Then a lifelong CIA officer, now head of the CIA. He goes on to say that none of this was necessary because if the NSA and the FBI needed to find this information, they could find it without having to hoover it up. He says the law already requires internet service providers to store emails for years so that the government can look at them. An amendment to existing law could have extended that provision to telephone logs and given the companies a safe harbor provision so they would not be open to suits. So the telephone companies could have been paid to maintain those records. If the government wanted a particular set of records, it could tell the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court why and then be granted permission to access those records directly from a specifically, specially maintained company servers. In other words, this could have been done. You don't need to have a library full of everybody's phone call records and everybody's internet records.
Maybe we should stop.
Housed by the government. You don't need that. Where they can go in without even a library card and just pull the records. You could have had private companies maintain this information in some fashion as they're doing now. In disparate entities, those private companies, and the government could be required to get a warrant every time it dips in there. But now anybody can go in there for any reason from the government. Anybody. It doesn't have to be about terrorism. They have this information now. It doesn't have to be about terrorism. And there's some indication that perhaps they're using it for beyond issues of terrorism.
The thing about the library analogy is that I was reading that that's what Clapper said, why he said what he said to Wyden in Congress. He said how he was picturing, you know, going out and getting a physical book, taking it down, and you look at people's information. And this is not just not what we have.
Right. It's not a physical book.
Yes, that's what he said.
Yeah, he's a liar. He's a huge liar. And so we have members of the Senate, like I said, Jeff Merkley introducing this bill, which would specifically compel the airing of the FISA court's understandings of Section 215 of the Patriot Act, which the government cited as the basis for collecting the phone records of millions of Americans, and Section 702 of the 2008 FAA, the FISA Amendments Act, which the government has cited as the basis for the NSA internet monitoring program known as PRISM. The bill has support of bipartisan support of other senators. Mike Lee, Republican from Utah. Dean Heller, Republican from Nevada. Patrick Leahy from Vermont. Mark Begich from Alaska. Al Franken from Minnesota. John Tester from Montana. Ron Wyden from Oregon. And I haven't heard the comments. I mean, obviously, I've heard from DiFi, Dianne Feinstein. But Al Franken, sadly, on radio in Minnesota, apparently, was saying, they're not spying on Americans. They're just keeping us safe.
He even used the term bad guys.
Yeah, it's sort of sad. But at least he is joining these senators in trying to push for an exposure of this secret law. And, you know, we have talked in the past with guys like, Will Potter, for instance. Green is the New Red. His book outlined just how far the FBI goes in terms of what it defines as terrorists. And this is what I was saying yesterday. We don't even know if this data is not being used to apprehend, to investigate, to surveil environmentalists who are trying to stop Keystone Pipeline.
Environmentalists who are trying to keep track of fracking projects in their local communities. A group in Pennsylvania got on a private security firm's list that was shared with law enforcement officials for holding educational meetings on fracking.
Well,
and I think the other really important question for people who are defenders of Obama and defenders of this program is, even if you think that under him everything is perfect and there's never a problem with anything, do you really feel comfortable with this type of access being codified and normalized in the long term? It seems kind of stunning that you would be.
Yeah, I just think that that is also the other shocking part about this that we didn't talk about yesterday. I think I mentioned it briefly. But not only do 56% of Americans have no problem with this, according to some polls, I don't know how accurate that is. But what's clear is that the partisan divide flipped by about 20 points. Under Bush, Democrats were 20 points less likely than they are today to say they're okay with this. And it's the reverse with the Republicans. That should be embarrassing to people. That should be just a full-on embarrassment. I honestly, maybe it's just different people, right? I mean, I don't know if that's indicative of, but it's, that's embarrassing. Now, as Matt said, also part of the fallout, Google, Facebook, and Microsoft on Tuesday asked permission to reveal details about the classified requests they received for the personal information of foreign users. When this came out last week, and we heard denials from these companies that they had been engaged in this, at that time I had speculated that part of the FISA law basically said they are not allowed to indicate that they've even been contacted. This is one of those things with those national security letters. We had this problem with librarians back in the Bush days when those of us on the left cared about these things. Google, for the first time, publicly acknowledged it had received FISA requests and said it had complied with far fewer of the requests than it received. Facebook and Microsoft did not go as far as discussing the requests they received, but like Google, they wanted to be able to publish information about the volume and scope of the government requests. Now, the problem is that PRISM, as far as I can tell, just basically reroutes the traffic. They don't even get requests on that. They're just mirrored. And then the other aspect of this we talked on about yesterday also was the private contractor aspect of this. You have 500,000 private contractors who are now working essentially in this business of spying on Americans in some shape or form. According to the Washington Post, NSA officials say that only about 30 or 40 people would have had access to the information that Snowden had. I'm not sure why we should believe that at this point. That seems like, I mean, I'm not a senator, so maybe they wouldn't lie to me. But I find that hard to believe, that only 30 or 40 people would have access to that. But even if that's the case, we know these spy contractors have already abused their power. Guess it was last year or 2 years ago. Anonymous leaked a bunch of information from Palantir and HB Gary Federal. You'll recall we talked about it quite a bit. They had talked about trying to basically do a rat F on Glenn Greenwald because he was a supporter of WikiLeaks. They were trying to pitch to the U.S. government, to the Chamber of Commerce, surveillance of a broad swath of liberal and left-leaning groups, unions. Now, I don't know if Booz Allen, for instance, ever uses any of the data they get or have access to in working for the U.S. government for other contracts. In other words, the Chamber of Commerce comes to Booz Allen, hypothetically, and says, we have a problem. We want to know who it is that is mocking us on Twitter. We want to know who owns that account. We want to know what's being planned in terms of protests against us. Are we to trust Booz Allen with saying, well, actually, we have a firewall for our corporate business and our government business? We don't use that data. Now, we already know that the fusion centers used their data for private companies. We know that these private companies around the country, when they thought that they were going to have a protest from Occupy, they would hire the government workers who were working on these fusion centers and get the information from them. Is there any reason to believe it doesn't go the other way, too, where Booz Allen says, oh, we have access to that data? I mean, it's just absurd. The idea that we don't think that there's going to be some type of abuse from private contractors is just absurd. It's already happened. So it is quite astonishing to see how reflexive guys like Brooks and Friedman and Tubin are. It's stunning, but you know, I mean, their reaction to this, I think, is indicative of why this is such a larger problem. Why I don't think that we would have this apparatus or be able to maintain this apparatus if we didn't also have the other political problems we have in this country, in terms of the disenfranchisement of the population in general from the levers of power. And nothing, I think, is more indicative of that than the exchange between Clapper and Wyden. I want to play that right now. This is the exchange between Clapper and Wyden. If there is anything that, this is March 12th, if there is anything that shows how problematic this is, how anti-democratic it is the lying of the director of national intelligence lying to Congress, lying directly to the face of a senator, not saying, let's take this into closed session, just lying. Here it is.
Last summer, the NSA director was at a conference, and he was asked a question about the NSA surveillance of Americans. He replied, and I quote here, "The story that we have millions or hundreds of millions of dossiers on people is completely false." The reason I'm asking the question is, having served on the committee now for a dozen years, I don't really know what a dossier is in this context. So what I wanted to see is if you could give me a yes or no answer to the question, does the NSA collect any type of data at all on millions or hundreds of millions of Americans?
No, sir.
It does not.
Not wittingly. There are cases where they could inadvertently, perhaps, collect, but not wittingly.
All right.
There you have it. There you have the director of national intelligence lying, bald-faced lying, coincidentally also bald-head lying to Senator Ron Wyden. All right, folks. It's that time where we head into the better half of the program. The number is 646-257-3920. 646-257-3920 is the IM, is the phone number. We will take your phone calls. The IM is Majority FM. May not go too long today. We will see you then. If you can afford to become a member at Majority.FM, grow this show. So the larger this show has, the more access we have to guests, more resources we have to deal with last-minute cancellations of guests, on and on. So if you can become a member today, please do so at majority.fm. You can also support this show by buying your Amazon crap. If you buy any Amazon crap, buy it through our link at the bottom of our homepage. You'll see Amazon with the Majority Report in there. Click it, bookmark it. Always buy your Amazon crap through there. We will get a little kickback. You will notice no difference whatsoever. JustCoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code Majority, get 10% discount. What else? Give us a good review on iTunes. Don't cost nothing. All right, folks. See you in the better half.